Let's begin today's lesson first by considering Revelation chapter 15. So turn to Revelation chapter 15. Revelation chapter 15. And let us read responsively from verses 1 to 8. Revelation chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. Verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. The Lord bless the reading of his sacred word. The chapters before Revelation chapter 15, especially Revelation chapter 11 onwards, or rather 10 onwards, is to prepare for this particular chapter, whereby you will see the seven vials being prepared to be poured out upon the earth. These vials, what do they represent? Well, verse 1 tells us that these are the seven last plagues. Right? Take note of the word last. Because this means that this will be the judgment, final judgment of God before the millennium will come. And there is no turning back of these plagues. Why were these plagues given? The chapters before forms the basis. Started first with, remember, the two witnesses that were rejected. And then after that, there was this continuing persecution of Satan and the Antichrist of the saints of God. This is nothing that is surprising. You first have the big picture of the persecution of Satan, starting from the very beginning where he rebelled against God, where he wanted to be like the Most High, and then he drew one third of the angels together with him to fall upon the earth. And then he continued to want to stop the work of God. This includes trying to swallow the child that was born from the nation of Israel. But of course, we know that he will not succeed. And even until the last days, he will want to continue to swallow Israel. The Bible describes this dragon as opening up his mouth, and then a great flood came forth from his mouth, wanting to swallow up Israel. But what God did was to cause a fissure to swallow up the entire flood, and then Israel was protected. Yeah. Like the great fissure down there. Right. So that is in very dramatic terms how the Lord will protect the children of Israel. It's also a picture of Satan and his persecution in a very large picture. Then we see how the book of Revelation then trains its focus to how the Antichrist will operate during the Great Tribulation, and especially in the second half of the Great Tribulation, whereby you see that the Antichrist will begin to show his color, will begin persecuting the world. He will bring the world under the one world system. One religion, one economic system. If you do not stand with him, he will persecute you, he will end your life. Nevertheless, despite the devices of the Antichrist, who is empowered by the beast, the dragon, right, the beast, Satan himself, and assisted by the false prophet, they will want to bring everybody to worship the Antichrist, to worship Satan, and the entire world will cry out, who is as great like this beast? Who is like unto the beast who is able to make war with him? Now, despite all these things, you find that in Revelation chapter 14, those who were given the mark of God, right, they do not have the mark of the beast, but they have the mark of God, the Lord will specially protect. And the emphasis of Revelation chapter 14 is on separation. What kind of separation? The separation between the wheat and the tares. Those who have, and in those days, it will be very clear. Those who have the mark of the beast, basically what they are declaring is, I despise Jehovah and I want to stand on the side of Satan. There will no longer be able to be, no, there will no longer be any pretense anymore. And so everybody will be confronted the choice. They cannot just say, oh, I want Jehovah and I want Satan. I want Jehovah and I want Satan. I want Jehovah and I want Baal. I want Jehovah and I want Ashtaroth. No more. Because the Antichrist will force them to have the choice. And then the truth will be revealed. There will be those who will choose the mark of the beast. There will be those who will choose to go with Christ. There will be 144,000 that will be out of the children of Israel that will be given this special mark of protection. The Lord will protect them. And then the Lord will say in Revelation chapter 14, when it comes to the end of the times, there will be this separation between the wheat of the tares. Jesus Christ will come with a sickle, other angels will assist him, and there will be judgment of the world, whereby the Bible here says there will be blood that will be poured out, just like wine that is being produced by the pressing of grapes. How much blood will there be produced? Well, the Bible here says about 1,600 furlongs. And if you take that to be about 300 kilometers, it will be the distance between Singapore to Kuala Lumpur, which will be about 5 hours by coach if there is no disruption. Is it 5 hours? I believe 5 hours, right? That's what I traveled. 5 hours by coach. Tell me, is it 5 hours for you? First coach, about there, 5 hours. So next time when you move from Singapore to KL by coach, don't take plane, don't cheat. Take coach. All along the road, you just imagine it is blood. That will be the amount of blood that will be poured out because of the wrath of God. And so with all these pictures in mind, now finally, the Bible comes to the seven vials which will be poured down, which in the end will result in all this blood that will be poured upon the earth. Verse 1, and I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. So this will be a miraculous sign. Now, do you like to see miracles? Well, we know that miracles are often given to point people, especially like in times whereby faith in Christ was weak, to point people to the truth. Like, for example, during the time of Moses, it was necessary to show the children of Israel that Jehovah indeed is their deliverer, and then Jehovah is the true God that they must follow. Same during the time of Elijah and Elisha, whereby there was this syncretic worship. People wanted to worship both Jehovah and Baal, and so you will see that there were a lot of miracles done during those days, so that the people may know that Jehovah indeed is the one living and true God. Then you have during the time of Jesus, whereby all these miracles were given, especially to point people to the fact that Jesus is indeed the divine Son of God, who has come as the Son of Man in order to save us from our sins. What then about Revelation chapter 15, verse 1? What kind of sign is this? Right? We all know that miracles must be a sign, isn't it? Pointing to something greater than itself. This sign will, of course, be the sign pointing towards God as the judge. Judge of the entire world, and now the final sentence is about to be produced. is about to be given. It's as though the whole world is waiting and waiting, waiting for the judgment to be produced, right? That is what happened recently in Singapore, right? We were all waiting for the city harvest sentence to be given. Wait, first year, not yet. Second year, not yet. Third year, well, all waiting. Then finally it was given. Even then, somehow it doesn't seem to be very final, although yes, they are ready now inside, but still waiting, right? There's a period of waiting before a judgment, a verdict is pronounced. And that judgment and verdict, we know, is final. There is no such thing as appeal. Okay? So, this will be the point of no return. This judgment gives no such thing as appeal anymore. It is the end. No turning back. That's why it's called the last plagues. Take note, right? The word last is important down here. The last plagues, and this is due to the wrath of God. Now, this passage is important. Why? Because it explains to us that this wrath of God is not a wrath that is unjustified. Unlike the wrath of man, which is often stained by sin. We are very angry with people, oftentimes because of our own selfish intentions. We can be angry with people simply because they say something that we do not like to hear, and then we get very angry with them, and then we want to deal with them. That is the wrath of man. Oftentimes it's like this. But not very often are we angry for the right reason, right? Righteous anger. And even then, when we are so-called having righteous anger, it may also come with a tinge of sin. And that's why David, right, in his psalm, he asked the Lord to check his heart, to make sure that there is no secret sins, no hidden agenda, intentions, that when he says that I hate your enemies with perfect hatred, it's really simply because of the fact that they were the enemies of God and he wants to demand justice. Nothing to do with what all these enemies have done to David. That is important. So when you talk about the wrath of God, this passage will make it very clear that the wrath of God is not one that is stained by sin. It's something which the world deserves. It's something that is found rooted in the holiness of God. How do we know this? You look at verse 2 onwards, okay? And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. Now, what is a sea of glass? Something you find very hard to imagine, right? Because in the world today, what do we have? We have sea of water, right? It's the East Coast Park there, glass, yes? Matthew Teng, do you see any glass there? No, huh? Okay, you don't see glass. Maybe you don't have sea or glass. Called river of glass. No? Yesterday, y'all were at Kallang Wave, right? Were you beside a river? Yes, y'all eat 45 plates of sushi? Y'all didn't know, huh? Our men are growing men, but they eat 45 plates of sushi. It's still not enough. The only thing stop them from eating more is because they have not enough money, right? Yes? Yes? Gershon, you think I don't know? Not enough money, huh? Never mind, when I was young, I was like that, growing. Now, Shomarim, are you going to eat 45 plates? Yes, Desmond? Cannot, we eat 5 plates, we're already full already. Adults worse, adults eat 3 plates full already. Right? Unless there is a big big buffet. Oh, 45 plates, you're amazing. Kallang Wave, do you see any glass, the river there? Is it river or glass? No, right? So what do you mean by a sea of glass? Something that is very hard to comprehend. Most people will agree that this will be the glass that is just before the throne of God. I also would think so. Right? The glass that is before the throne of God. So basically what you have the throne of God, and then in front of him is a whole pavement of glass. Right? A very wide expanse. And so the people will all be standing there. There is going to be fire. Why? Because there is going to be judgment. But this judgment is not meant for these people who are going to be singing. Who are these people that are going to be singing? You see down here that they are the same people, that these are the people who had the victory over the beast. This is a very interesting statement because if you look at Revelation chapter 13, remember that there were people who were, these were the very same people who are said in Revelation chapter 13 to be overcome by the beast. Two very different perspectives being given. In the eyes of the world, when the world sees that the saints are being killed, the saints are being persecuted, the saints lose their life and they can no longer operate, they would think that this is a loss. They would think that the beast had overcome the saints. And that is from the world's perspective. Okay? And so therefore, when you see in this life, people standing up for Christ, and then in the end, you see that they are being overcome. Please understand that that is only from the perspective of the world. Now, in the eyes of God, yes, they may so-called be overcome by the beast, and yet, the very fact that they stand firm in the face of the fierceness of the beast, it is victory. It is not loss. They are those who have gotten the victory over the beast. In other words, they concerning his image, they refuse to bow down to it. Concerning his mark, they refuse to have his mark, nor the number of his name. Can you remember what's the number of his name? It's none other than the 666. Recently, be talking to some people about this 666. Not that I've been talking to them, they were talking and they're talking in front of me. Some of my teachers, so I just keep quiet. But basically, I think one thing we can conclude: nobody knows quite fully what this 666 is. Right, a lot of speculation. Don't go and speculate, okay? Don't go and be like the people in the past. Go and look at the 666 and then, during the time of World War II, just over, they go and do the calculation. Okay, Adolf Hitler. Don't know, something related to Adolf Hitler. And then after that, calculate. Oh, Adolf Hitler is the one who has the mark of the beast. And so therefore, he is the Antichrist, empowered by the beast. Or after that, they do it for Nixon. They do it for whoever they don't like. And then finally end up, latest one, of course, is Donald Trump. Right? Don't go and do that, okay? That is not how it should be interpreted. Now, if really God wants us to know it very well, he would have told us explicitly. But right now, he just, say all you need to know is the number of a man. Six, the number of a man. Also, we can only phantom of a guess what it's going to be. But importantly, we know what this 666 represents. It represents a movement of the unholy trinity that is against God. Like 666. Compared to the Trinity itself. Right? And later on, you're going to read about this unholy Trinity very soon, okay? When we come to Revelation chapter 16. They will have this mark. They will have victory over this mark. Right? In other words, they will not have this mark on them. They will resist the Antichrist. They are willing to be persecuted and they will die for their faith. Now, these people, they will therefore, when they die for the faith, it is evidence of their faith, and they will therefore overcome the beast, right? And they overcome the beast by what? Of course, by the blood of the Lamb. And now they are standing before God on this sea of glass, having the harps of God. In other words, God gave them this harp in order to sing praises unto Him. So do you like to sing the praises unto God? I hope so, because this is what we are going to do in heaven. And then the instruments, very good, all provided by God. Now you want to find instrument hard, huh? Need to buy. God personally provide these hubs. A-class hubs. So, quiz, where to find the best hubs, Shermaine? Sea of Glass. So next time you want people to buy hubs, what do you call, what brand? Let's say you go Africa. You want to sell hubs there. Are you going to sell hubs in Africa? No, of course not. Okay, but let's say you want to sell hubs, what is the nice brand to call? Sea of Glass. Best one. Hubs of God. Well, importantly, all these are provided by the Lord Himself, and they will use these instruments which the Lord provided to sing unto the Lord's glory. And again, the song that they sing is an interesting song. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Saying, okay, the song of Moses. Let's ask all those who eat the 45 plates of sushi. Because now they are very full, they are full of energy, right, from yesterday. Right? That is what you all predicted I would say, right? And so I want you all to be true prophets. So now I'm going to ask your questions. Okay, Gershon. Come. Gershon, how many songs of Moses do you have in the Bible? Besides this one, right? Let's say in the first five books, where do you find the songs of Moses? How many songs do they have? Five songs are, okay, where are they? Where are they? You know? Five songs. You sure so many not? If you have so many, now we are going to be in trouble. You better don't flip. The answer is not five. Too many already. Matthew Teng, you want to help him? Do you hear the 45, Matthew Teng? Yes, right? Because you posted the Instagram. You sabotage all of them, so everybody know. Okay. Matthew Teng, how many? How many songs? Don't tell me 45, huh? Five already, too many. One, huh? If there's one, where is it? Exodus chapter 15. Okay, usually people will say there is one. But that is not the answer. Who? Gideon now? Gideon, you also eat Gideon? Yes. No wonder today you gain 1 cm, is it? You gain 1 cm, looks a little taller. Yes? No. Or is it 1 cm on the stomach? Maybe. Okay, Gideon. How many? Exodus 15, there is one, yes. Another one? Deuteronomy, okay? Deuteronomy chapter 29. Of course, in some sense, this song is a little different. Because this song was a song which God asked Moses to teach the children of Israel, but it's also a song, so please take note, okay? Deuteronomy chapter, not 29, I'm sorry, 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 22, okay? Moses therefore wrote this song the same day and taught it the children of Israel. And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and say, be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. And it came to pass, when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book until they were finished, Then Moses commanded the Levites which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the law of God and then put it inside the covenant of take this book of the law and put it inside the ark of God. Okay, this is in, this is Deuteronomy chapter 31, right? Verse 22. Okay, so this is the song which God asked the children of Israel, or God asked Moses to teach the children of Israel. You look at the verses before, in verse 16, this song was asked by the Lord to, or rather this song God asked Moses to teach the children of Israel as a witness and as a testimony against Israel. Right, verse 21. And it shall come to pass, when many ills and troubles are befallen them, that this song shall testify against them as a witness. For it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed, for I know their imagination which they go about even now, before I have brought them into the land which I swear. So these two songs, okay? Now you want to know how to therefore write good songs, or what good songs, for example, the choir want to choose, study Deuteronomy chapter 32. Okay? Pattern. You realize rich in doctrine and so on. Okay? And a lot of things you find not common in Christian hymns today, you can find in Deuteronomy chapter 32, right? Which will be the song proper. Question is this. In Revelation chapter 15, they say, and they sung the song, and you realize that the Bible purposely say they sing. Very interesting. It doesn't say they sung, they sing. Why? Because they are constantly singing. That is the emphasis. Right? And they are constantly singing the song of Moses, the servant of God. Which song would that be? Is it Deuteronomy chapter 32? Or is it Exodus chapter 15? Okay, which are the other heroes which ate 45 sushi? James Teng. Oh, you didn't eat with them, Oh, I'm so happy. Okay, who are the rest of the 45? Joshua, do you eat with them? Yes. Ah, Joshua, the other one. He hi. That's like, Okay, Joshua, which one do you think? Deuteronomy 1, really? Okay, so Joshua said Deuteronomy. Who else ate the 45? Cannot be just four people, right? Four people eat 45. Ah, Mattathias, do you eat? Wow, Mattathias, you eat so much and then you still this size. Okay, Mattathias. Joshua said Deuteronomy chapter 32. You agree or disagree? And if you agree, why? If you disagree, why? Not so easy, let you pass. Exodus, why? Triumph gloriously. And why do you think that is important? Because Deuteronomy chapter 32 is about what? Exodus chapter 15 is about what? And Revelation chapter 15 is about what? Deuteronomy chapter 32 is a song of what? Song of judgment, right? And who is being judged? The children of Israel, right? Correct? In this case, look at Revelation chapter 15. Does it fit? Right? It does not fit, right? However, when you look at Exodus chapter 15, it's about triumph. It's about deliverance. And then you look at the context in verse 2, especially these are people who have overcome and they were delivered by God. Right? So I would think, right, my personal opinion, right, if you ask me, okay, personal opinion, I would think that it's Exodus chapter 15. Okay? That's my opinion, Joshua. Okay? I would think that it's Exodus chapter 15. Right? And if you look at Exodus chapter 15, you will realize that the song is a very rich song. Right? Let's turn to Exodus chapter 15. Since they sing the song of Moses, right, we must read the song of Moses. Exodus chapter 15, verse 1 onwards, right? And then you read and then you will see how this fits very much onto what is going to happen very soon upon the world. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider have he thrown into the sea. The Lord is become my strength and song. He is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host have he cast into his sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, have dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thy excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And so on and so forth. You can go back and read, right, the entire song. You compare this song with the context of what we have in Revelation chapter 15, and especially the verses before. Remember, the verses before deals with what? The rebellion of Satan, even from the very beginning, and how he will gather the world to rise up in rebellion against God. Revelation chapter 15 would then be, the Lord will put this rebellion finally to an end. Finally to an end. Enough is enough. I send you two witnesses and you reject. And after you reject them, you continue to persecute the saints of God. Enough. This is it. Final. Now I am coming as the Lord of war. Last time I come as the Lord of war against Pharaoh, who hardened his heart against me. Now I am coming as the Lord of war against the Antichrist, who hardened his heart against me, and against the entire world who also stood with him, refusing to repent. Now I am come. I am coming to wage war. And all the saints which have overcome the mark of the beast, they will be there singing the song of Moses. And of course the song of the Lamb. Why the song of the Lamb? Because it's by the Lamb that they overcome the mark of the beast. Okay? And what do they say? Great and marvelous are thy works. Usually we talk about great and marvelous works as referring to the miracles done by God. Oftentimes we don't think of these miracles as judgments, right? A lot of the miracles we like to talk about are the miracles in the in the New Testament, Old Testament, a lot of times about provision and what Jesus Christ healing and whatever. But oftentimes we forget that there are also miracles that deal with judgment, like for example the 10 plagues. Now something worse than the 10 plagues are coming. Right? This will be global in terms of nature. These are called great and marvelous works of the Lord God Almighty, because it will show forth His power. Omnipotent. Nobody is greater in power than the Lord. Right? And just and true. So when you talk about the wrath of God, take note. The wrath of God will come in His power, but the wrath of God is also rooted in the justice of God and the fact that God is a God of truth. Right? So when He pours out His wrath, when He pronounces His sentence, you know that His sentence are just,